Darren Copeland Experience. You've never heard anything like it.
I got so riled up, I almost forgot to tell you it's a Funk You Tuesday. So you can just go funk yourself, and you can funk me, and funk you, and funk Jake, and funk all those people, because that's what we're going to do all night. We're going to funk everybody here on the Darren Copeland Experience. Before the, I feel much better. I was raging before the break a little bit. I did omit that one grievous error. But this is the thing that, same thing with me and Rapids fans. Rockies fans hate it because I know just enough about Rockies to be interesting, but I can't remember the names. And my brain is so addled that I'll just like, oh yeah, that one guy that's the first guy ever to do it. Jason Jennings was the pitcher who has in his major league debut, by the way, became the first major leaguer ever to hit a home run and throw a complete game shutout in his major league debut. I believe they won 2-0. I don't know. I don't believe he had the only runs, but I think he did. I feel like he did. And so that's why I don't believe that Chad Bettis' game was the best ever game in Rockies. Purple Row, that was, I mean, it was, okay. I liked the article because it was like, yay, cancer. I mean, not yay, cancer, but it was like, yay, we hate cancer, that sort of thing. And it was an intriguing ball game, 0-0, and then, you know, they get the home run and then the two-run single. Or the singles, whatever it was. I was here doing the show. I wasn't watching that. I was watching it backwards. Every time I see him, I watch him go up third base. But, listen, it was a great game, but it's not one of the best ever. But you should go listen to Purple Row, or read Purple Row. I mean, you guess you could listen if you want someone reading it to you. I mean, I don't have anyone that can read it, so I have to read it myself. Sometimes I talk out loud, so that's how I listen to it, but I'm still reading. So, but Purple Row. And we're seeing what's happening. You know, seems like the Rockies are leading right now. So what makes this amazing, and this is how random baseball is. So as a lot of you may recall, the Dodgers recently went 46-4 in a 50-game stretch, which is the best 50-game stretch in baseball since 1912. They were something like 46-4. Again, math, but it's close to that. According to a Dodgers insider, okay, I'll literally nameless. Alana Rizzo tweet out that all four of those losses during that 50-game stretch were to the Atlanta Braves. At least three out of the four. Which goes to show you that the randomness of baseball is the reason why, and Big Fuzz and I always argue about this, is you never know with the randomness of a team. Okay, so think about this. So you know, Big Fuzz is always a pessimist. That way, he can be happy. You know, if a team wins or loses, that's a great thing about being a pessimist. If you're a pessimist, then you think the season's going to suck all the time. Well, if it sucks, then you're right. However, if it's wrong, your team had a good season, so you're happy. I like to go more realistically and try to think about how they can. Call me optimism. This is the optimism tango. So, listen, bet it. Okay, the whole reason why the wild card one game play-in was created was to handicap the wild card team playing the division leader. So, a lot of times what you want to do is you want to give the team that won the division, you want to give them the best opportunity to go in. So you have to make it a tougher reason. It's why, you know, you have to play at their place to start. They get more games in the 7-game series or a 5-game, all of this. But what they wanted to do is, and even then the randomness meant that there wasn't home field advantage for the playoffs was not as good as it should be. So what they did is the wild card, they made it one game. And what has to happen is if you're going to get in, you have to play your best, you have to pitch your best pitcher. Well, that means you, in most people, that's their ace. See, so in most baseball, that's their ace. So then when you, if you win that game, you have to go to game one at somewhere just for, you know, giggles. Say the Rockies win against Arizona, whoever it is. Should we all get in? You know, all the, you know, all the caveats. And then they go on to face the Dodgers. Well, who's going to be there waiting for them? You know, Mr. Cy Young. Right?
Right.
And if you play your ace, so the ace right now would be John Gray. So under rational thinking, you'd have to pitch John Gray in that series. And then you wouldn't have John Gray against Clayton Kershaw. You'd have to have someone else. Not that that's bad, because I think the Rockies, all six or eight of their starters are sort of lumped together and they can all pitch very well. But here's what makes getting Chad Bettis so intriguing. He was the best pitcher last year, but John Gray was kind of considered the ace still. Classic ace, throws 100, you know, all that nonsense. I mean, it's not nonsense. I mean, you throw 99, you throw 99. I mean, it's good, but Chad Bettis last year was 7-2 in the second half of the season at home, or 8-2, I think it was. He, you know, was 14-9. He was the leader of the team, innings pitched, all that stuff. And he was really the only, you know, one of the things that's been lacking with this team has been veteran leadership with starting pitching. I mean, you know, John Gray's been here 2.5 years, maybe. Tyler Anderson is in his second year, and the rest of them are rookies. So you don't have like a veteran who can come in and tell you this is how it's supposed to go. This is why I advocated months ago for getting Justin Verlander.
Right.
By the way, is on past waivers and the Rockies can trade for him anytime. They didn't do that. I mean, I get why. I disagree with it, but I get why. But now with Bettis, you get sort of that lift that you would get from getting a frontline closer. So, because he was basically your ace last year, even though John Gray is kind of considered the ace. So maybe you play Bettis in that game, right? So all of a sudden, the Rockies may not look as bad as they would before, because, you know, if you have Bettis and you get the home game right, Bettis, who's 8-2 at home at Coors Field, and then you can go John Gray against Clayton Kershaw. And then that sets up probably Kyle Freeland against Wood, and then so on. But what you see is you have almost a frontline pitcher with the Rockies. And this is an issue with the Rockies that they'll probably be better next year with this year. But listen, there is an asteroid going between the Earth and the Moon at some point this month, all right? So we're all day-to-day, Dan Patrick. I quote my quotes. So I want to win now. And this gives us a better chance to win, and that's what I think is so exciting about having Chad Bettis back. But it would be so much better to have Verlander, right? Bettis pitches here, then you have Verlander for game one there, then John Gray 2, then you bring in Freeland 3. I mean, now you see what the Rock is cooking. I mean, that is how I envision it. I would love to see the Rockies go and try and get Verlander, even now.
That would be bold.
It would be bold. It would be bold. It would be a lot of money to eat up, okay, but the Rockies have money to eat up. It wouldn't be the other big news that came out today was Giancarlo Stanton. By the way, hit another home run, so he's homer in 6 straight games. He passed through waivers today, so he could be traded for it anytime. Except he's owned $292 million. You won't owe as much to Verlander, and that way you can save money to pay Nolan Arenado. How much are you going to have to pay Nolan Arenado?
Max.
Yeah, but do you know, Jake, how much Max is? Somewhere around $400 million. $400 million. That would probably be 6 years, $400 million? I could live off 6 years, $400 million. Couldn't you?
It's Darren Copeland. We'll have more of whatever that was coming up.